Senate Committee on Judiciary. We're meeting on June 4th, 1987 at 3 o'clock p.m. in hearing room 343. This will be a work session on Senate Bills 454 and 1020 and House Bills 2301, 2550, 2551, 3189, 2552, 2295, 2903, 2898, and 2718.
Committee will come to order, and we're going to have further testimony on House Bill 2903. Representative McCracken is here and wanted to say a word to the committee. Go ahead.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Representative Mike McCracken from District 36 in Albany. House Bill 2903 would create the crime of telephonic harassment. When the Supreme Court struck down the obscenity statute, it also took with it the harassing language for telephone calls because it's contained in the same portion of the statute. So there's nothing that can be done now for people who are harassed or annoyed by the telephone. House Bill 2903 would allow a person to tell a harassing phone caller not to call again. And if that person called again, the person could be breaking the law. The reason to make it a crime is so that the police agencies can make available to the telephone companies tracing equipment in order to establish a case. The bill does not deal with the content of a phone conversation. Rather, it addresses the problem of conduct with the telephone. House Bill 2903 makes it illegal for a person to use another person's property, a telephone, in an unauthorized way. Frank Gruber from Legislative Council's here, who drafted the bill and participated in meetings with people involved in the Supreme Court case, both the plaintiffs and the defendants, and all parties concerned agreed. Pacific Northwest Bell has been working with us on the bill and would support it. Should the bill become law, then they could notify telephone customers of this remedy and also warn people against using the telephone for harassing purposes. So I just wanted to come here to explain that bill. I'm supposed to be on the House floor, and I wondered if you had some technical questions, Mr. Gruber could answer them. Chris could not advocate for the bill, but I advocate on the part of many Oregonians who feel unfairly harassed. I could answer maybe a quick question or two, but.
Okay. Thank you. Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, Frank Gruber from Legislative Council's office. As Representative McCracken said, of course, I'm not here to advocate or oppose either way on this bill. I would just repeat generally, though, that the bill, the thrust of the bill was to try to address the problem that that the members involved were concerned about in a way that didn't address the content. And in drafting this, I did try to, and I believe did, in fact, avoid addressing content and address this on the theory that it's proper, on a property theory, which is that your telephone or my telephone is our property, we pay for it, and that in a sense the person who calls, who knows that he's not authorized, has been advised that he's not authorized to use this piece of property and calls nevertheless is in fact using property without your permission, and to address it from that direction rather than from the direction of any content, any particular content. There are no guarantees on this. As you know, this area is in a state of flux and has been for a number of years. It seemed to me that was a different approach that avoided a lot of the problems the court had talked about, and it's somewhat novel. It also has some practical difficulties involved, of course. You have to be advised that you're not authorized to call and to do this. It's not addressed toward any call that, in fact, annoys. There has to be the concomitant factors of actual annoyance and the intent to cause annoyance. If you had any questions, Mr. Chairman, or any of the members, I'd be happy to address them.
Senator Brockman.
How does this affect, is this the same bill that caused so much aggravation early when it first was dropped about realtors and others that make their...
I don't know, Senator. I haven't really...
Well, how would it affect someone that does telephone canvassing for a living?
If the purpose, the intent in drafting it, unless somebody's reading something in there that I don't see, but I intended to draft it so that it wouldn't pick up that person. You have to not, it's not just if your call, if the caller's call annoys the person. The annoyance has to be the purpose of the call.
Okay.
So if you're calling to sell somebody something, as annoying as that call may be to the person on the end, on the other end, this doesn't pick that up unless your intent was to harass.
That's fine. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Well, committee's going to be at ease until we get a quorum.
Enter quorum.
Okay, we're back in session now. Senators Brenneman, Hamby, Brockman, Frye. Senator Brenneman, what do you think about the about 2903?
Oh, move it out.
Okay. Senate Bill 2903, Senator Hamby, is a telephone harassment bill.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Or if you're in the bureaucracy, a telephone harassment bill.
Harass.
So Senator Brenneman has moved that for a due pass. Comfortable with that, Senator?
I support it.
Call the roll, please.
Brenneman?
Aye.
Brockman?
Aye.
Cohen?
Aye.
Hamby?
Aye. Forgive me.
Bill? Wires? Frye?
Aye. All right. 2550.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, this is a bill sponsored at the request of the Oregon Criminal Justice Council. It basically puts some teeth behind the requirement that fingerprints of certain defendants be obtained. The arraignment judge would be required to ascertain whether fingerprints of the necessary defendants have been obtained. If not, then the appropriate law enforcement agency would be required to obtain the fingerprints. This is necessary for proper tracking and gathering of statistics on offenders in the state. I don't believe there was any opposition testimony. There are House amendments to the bill which specifically define the types of offenses that fingerprints are required, and those are felonies or misdemeanors involving sexual conduct or drug crimes. So fingerprints can be taken for other offenses, but they must be taken for this class of offenses.
I'll move the bill.
All right, Senator Hannity moves House Bill 2550. Pass to the floor. Discussion. Call the roll.
Brennaman?
Aye.
Brockman?
Aye.
Cohen?
Aye.
Hill? Wires? Frye?
Aye. Carries. 2551.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, this is a bill again sponsored at the request of the Oregon Criminal Justice Council, and it has to do with the preparation and forwarding of felony disposition reports. As originally printed, the responsibility for that function would be transferred from the district attorney to the courts. Where we got stuck on at the last hearing and work session is that the courts aren't quite ready to assume that responsibility, at least not without some significant fiscal impact at this point. The Criminal Justice Council have been in consultation with the State Court Administrator's Office and have agreed upon amendments which should be in your file as dash 2. Basically, what this amendment does is provide a phase-in for the court's assumption of this responsibility. So until the court has adequately prepared for assuming this function, the district attorney will continue to have the responsibility it does now. When the state court administrator tells the district attorneys we're ready, then the procedure would change and the courts would assume their responsibility.
Is that ever going to happen?
Well, I think Mr. Linden is here. He's nodding his head in the affirmative. He didn't say when, though. There is a typographical error on line 7 of page 2 of the dash 2 amendments. Mr. Gruber is picking up the words that were deleted. The effect of it is that the report shall be forwarded to the appropriate court as designated or as provided in 181.511 sub 1C.
That in the that change been made in the hand engrossed?
I don't believe it has.
Well, no. Is the hand engrossed otherwise the same as the dash two?
It is, other than those words which reads in the hand engrossed as provided in ORS 181.511. So the language is in the corrected form in the hand engrossed version. Otherwise, they're the same.
Well, that's what I mean. So the hand engrossed version encompasses what we just heard, this omission.
That's correct.
All right.
I'm sorry, I take that back. It still has the error. Both the hand engrossed and the dash 2 still have that error, and we need to put in the appropriate language.
That would be in the second paragraph of section 3, right? It needs to be, the words need to be inserted there on the...
Correct. After appropriate court and before ORS 181.511.
And what would...
I believe we could follow the languages from the preceding paragraph and insert the words "as provided in."
As provided in.
Basically, that's the disposition court that's going to be responsible.
All right, so we're really looking at the Hand and Gross version dated June 4th, as we just now amended it by inserting those three words.
What is the Bureau?
I believe it's the... Bureau of State Police.
Ah, okay.
Is that right?
Is that correct, Mr. Linden?
That's correct, sir.
Judge Beatty?
Oh, the Bureau of State Police.
Well, it just says Bureau in here, and I...
just says Bureau.
I imagine there could be other bureaus. It may be somewhere else in the statute that...
to the Bureau.
On the... otherwise designated in Chapter 181. Chapter 181 is the chapter that refers to the Bureau of State Police. Bureau means Department of State Police. Bureau, according to the statute, means the Department of State Police Bureau of Criminal Identification.
Ah.
So that chapter, that definition in the beginning of that chapter, then follows through for the whole chapter 181.
All right.
No problem with the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. 2551. Hand and Gross version dated June 4th. Chair moves it. Discussion.
We'll pass it.
Two also?
Oh, well, we'll move the Hand and Gross.
They'll carry it. They'll live and die on its own.
Any further discussion on 2551? Call a roll, please.
Aye.
Wait a minute, now we'll see.
Okay, can I have a minute?
You can do this quite right. Any objection to the Hand and Gross amendments, Hand and Gross version? The amendments are shown in the Hand and Gross version. All right, so we're... yes, Senator Cohen, do you have a question?
Well, I guess I just want to make sure what we're doing here. These are amendments that are offered by...
these are amendments that reflect consensus between the Criminal Justice Council and the State Court Administrator's Office on a phase-in of the court's responsibility to prepare the disposition reports.
Good. Yes, I don't want to let another session go by with leaving this in limbo and the responsibility not being phased in. So I want
my
to make
question
sure.
Was when is it going to be phased in? That,
yes.
That question remains unanswered.
Yes. Can we have Jack Beatty come up just for a second?
Me.
Mr. Chairman, I'm
all
sorry.
Right,
he's waving.
Yes, come on up.
Mr. Chairman, my name is John Beatty. I'm the acting chair of the Criminal Justice Council. And as we advised the staff, Mr. Linden and I have agreed on behalf of our respective constituencies on that language. It is our understanding that the State Court Administrator's Office will take over present now the preparation of the disposition reports in those counties where the OGIN system is presently in place, and that they will pick up the disposition reporting responsibility in each of the counties as they come online. And when they're prepared to function, why, it's my understanding that they will give the district attorney in that particular jurisdiction the necessary go-ahead signal that they'll take it over. And during the intervening period, we have both agreed that we will use our best efforts to assess the district attorneys and encourage the district attorneys to, and the police agencies to coordinate their present reporting function so that we're able to get accurate reports under the existing system.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, Bill Linden, State Court Administrator. What the amendments do for the Judicial Department is it allows us to pick up this function as we automate our trial court so that we don't buy into a labor-intensive manual reporting system. Instead, what we're doing is committing to providing this information as we automate, and the electronic transmission of this data is a much more efficient way to move it around the system. As our courts come on the OGIN system, and the last court is scheduled to be up in November of 1989, so we'll have everybody phased in by then. We'll work with the local district attorneys to make an orderly transition from them to us in terms of this responsibility.
Questions? All right. Thank you. Take care of this one first here.
It's yours.
Senator Cohen, how do you?
Yes. I'm pleased. I just want to make sure that we get, for the record, a duty to move on this. And I'm, you know, I am, you know, I'm to some degree disappointed that the local judges are so concerned, you know, unwilling to try to do the right thing here. But I'm willing to work with them and
give
get
them another,
it on and
another
start.
2 years, huh? Give them another 2 years.
Well.
All right. Okay.
So you've moved the amendments?
No, the amendments have been taken care of.
Okay, I'd move the bill to pass to
Senator Cohen. Moves House Bill 2551, amended, as amended, to the floor, do pass. Discussion. Call the roll, please.
Brown.
Aye.
Crockett.
Aye.
Cohen.
Aye.
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 Aye. Let's take up 2295. That's the uniform law regarding prenuptial agreements, which...
This is going to help AIDS, right?
Of course.
That's what I read in the paper the other day.
What, this?
That
you can get it couples,
couples need to make those arrangements.
I'll move it as the House amendments that came over.
Senator Hamby moves House Bill 2295 to the floor, do pass. Discussion. I don't know what it adds to the Oregon law, but I'll vote for it. Call the roll.
Aye.
Aye.
Maybe. Aye.
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 Fired.
Which two? Five.
The other one I could carry and vote against.
Take House Bill 3189.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'll be submitting some. Actually, there are amendments in the file. Mr. Swank has submitted on behalf of the Judicial Department some amendments. I got them at about 2 o'clock. today. In addition to the changes that the bill as amended by the House makes, the proposed amendment would, for the purposes of future citizens' review boards, allow there to be composed three, at least three, and not more than five members. Right now, there are five members for each citizens' review board. I have not gotten the opportunity to speak with anyone else with respect to this amendment, specifically the Committee for Oregon Families that initially developed and promoted this concept to the legislature. So I don't have any more comment on that proposed amendment.
Margie Sherman here.
I did try to contact her. She wasn't available.
I move the amendment, Mr. Chairman.
I was going to say, Mr. Swank's cover letter notes the need to reduce costs, so I'm certainly supportive of the amendment.
Thank you.
All right. Senator Cohen moves State Court Administrator's proposed amendments.
The cover letter, June 4th.
Cover letter, June 4th. Any objection? So ordered.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Cohen.
I intend to vote against this bill, but I just wanted to let you know. Just because I made the amendment doesn't mean that I...
Okay. Well, tell us your point of view.
I want to abolish the review boards.
Voluntary review boards?
So I have a basic problem with the philosophy embodied there, especially when we're going to, about to give it to the...
If you get them two at a time, you'll be okay in a couple of sessions.
Right, as long as we can, you know, we're about to give the same duties to the juvenile court judges, so I do have some concerns about it. No big deal. Just want to let you know.
If I recall, Mr. Chair, or maybe Senator Cohen remembers, wasn't there a federal mandate of some sort for citizens' review boards? If I recall correctly, last session, that's what
case we has, cases have to be reviewed.
Pardon?
It just said cases have to be reviewed.
Reviewed, yes.
So we're going to give them to the judges in 3013 or whatever that other bill is, so they could do it as well.
Well, anybody care enough to move this bill?
Of course, if we don't move the bill, it certainly does not mean the boards die.
Oh, I understand that.
No, so they're still alive and with five members, and...
That's why I move the amendment.
I'll move the bill, Mr. Chair.
I think I ordered the amendment, didn't I?
Pardon?
No. Any objection to the amendment? Okay. That's ordered, then, for the record. All right. Senator Hamby moves House Bill 3189 as amended to the floor. Do pass. Any further discussion? Call the roll, please.
Brennan.
Aye.
Brockman.
Aye.
Cohen.
No.
Hamby.
Aye.
Hill.
Aye.
Squire.
Aye. No. That carries. Take House Bill 2718.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, there's some additional comments by the Legal Aid Service on this bill. In your bill folders, you should have a hand-engrossed version of Section 13. Section 13 of the bill is the section that was the most controversial in that it required the court to order parents disagreeing about joint custody to mediation. The Hand and Gross incorporates the dash 10 and the dash 11 amendments. The dash 10 and dash 11 amendments incorporate a few different concepts. First, they require that there be a time limit to request this mediation, and that has to be in the petition, in the response, or at least 30 days before the date of trial in the case. Do the members have a copy of the Hand and Gross version?
I don't have one.
Just missing a file.
The members have a copy of the dash 10 and the dash 11 amendments.
Dash 9.
9.
Well, we'll have to make some copies and go back to this bill because we can't discuss them without those.
Were they passed out last time?
No.
Okay, then they are. Then we don't really. Okay.